Podcast, as I always try and stress, it's a completely independent podcast. And this week's guest is Glenn Harold. And he's a pretty amazing guy. He's one of the world's most successful hypnotherapists. He's helped thousands of people in a 20-year career. He's sold over 2 million hypnosis CDs, MP3 downloads, and apps. And in May of last year, he was made a fellow of the British School of Clinical Hypnosis in his acknowledgement of achievements in the world of hypnotherapy. And I must warn you that if don't listen to this podcast while you're driving a car, because about halfway through the interview with Glenn, there will be a little bit, an excerpt from one of his hypnosis CDs, and maybe not a good idea to be driving a car when you hear that. So let's get into our interview with Glenn. And it's amazing what he's achieved, really, considering the difficult start he had in life.
There was a lot of violence in my house when I was young. And so I would, I'd run away from home and I'd sleep rough on the streets, that kind of thing. And, you know, it seemed quite normal at the time. I remember one time I stayed with some gypsies for a couple of weeks. They'd done a gypsy site. You know, that was as colourful as it got. It really was, you know, but it didn't seem anything out of the norm because all I kind of knew was that life. I didn't know anything different. So, you know, it was very rough and ready, but, you know, I didn't hate it at the time. It was just, that's what life was. And, you know, I'm glad I eventually found my way away from all that. But it was just a bit of a colourful time.
When did you first come across hypnosis?
Well, it was in my late 20s when I started playing on the cabaret circuit. I play in a guitar band, and we would sometimes share the bill with stage hypnotists. And so when I would watch these guys working, it kind of sparked my interest in hypnosis and, you know, the power of the mind. And although I didn't want to do it for entertainment, I wasn't drawn to it for that, it made me realise that, you know, I could use it in a way to heal, and primarily to heal myself and my own dysfunctions and addictions, that kind of thing.
Hypnosis talks to your unconscious mind.
Yeah.
Your unconscious mind talks to us through dreams, is that correct?
Yeah, it can communicate, yeah, symbolically through dreams, yeah.
And what effect does it have on our conscious mind? Are we not aware of what goes on in our unconscious that affects our conscious?
Well, I think we have an awareness of things in our unconscious. For example, if you have you experience something and then you dream about it that night, it's kind of your unconscious mind interpreting your conscious experience. But I think, you know, hypnosis really is the conduit between the conscious and the unconscious. It gives you a clear way into the unconscious, and it enables you to plant suggestions and thoughts into your unconscious that you can act upon at a later date. So I think that's where hypnosis works so well, in that it's just a clear channel to enable you to program your unconscious mind with new beliefs and new thought patterns, and to change patterns of behavior, and to change things on a really deep level that are stuck in your unconscious mind. That's another really important thing that hypnosis does.
So you were able to use self-hypnosis to cure your problems with addictions.
Yeah, I mean, when I first learned hypnosis, and I did a 2-year diploma course back in the early 90s, and because I wanted to learn it really thoroughly, I wanted to learn it from the ground up. And so I did a 2-year diploma, which was the longest course you could do back then. And when I learned the art of hypnosis, I would, you know, first and foremost, practice it on myself. And I did a lot of self-hypnosis on me to overcome a lot of, lack of confidence issues, negative patterns of behavior, and things I was struggling with. Because everything I touched in my early 20s turned to stone. You know, because I'd been told so much as a kid I was a failure and I was no good, you know, that becomes self-fulfilling, and I had that belief system. And with self-hypnosis, it kind of gave me the tool to be able to change that destructive pattern. And I was able to, you know, get rid of those negative patterns and program myself with you know, a more positive belief set. And when I did that, my outer world completely changed. You know, I started to have a lot of small successes that then became bigger, and it had a momentum to it that kind of carries me through today.
In therapy, there's a lot about, oh, my childhood, and this happened, and this with my parents, and so the reasons, or can they become excuses? Because you had enough reasons to go way off the track.
Yeah, and, you know, I did for a long time, you know, and I would always I'd blame, you know, things that happened to me in the past, my childhood, that kind of thing. And it's kind of easy to do that. But, you know, we've all got this ability to change and to make positive choices. And as soon as I started to do that, as soon as I started to take responsibility for my own life, that's when things started to change. And I think anyone can do that. You know, whatever your circumstance, whatever situation you're in, however difficult it is, you know, you can make a decision to change, to let go of the past and, you know, create a clean slate. And sometimes you may need help to do that. You may need, you know, hypnotherapy or counselling or whatever it is to clear away some of the destructive patterns that are running in your unconscious mind. But anyone can do that, you know, and as soon as you make that decision to make the change, you know, you become self-empowered. And, you know, with my work, that's what I always try to do on my recordings, whether I'm writing a book or whatever it is. I always try to teach self-empowerment so that, you know, because there are, you know, good therapy is about a few sessions, you know, seeing someone for a few sessions and giving them those self-empowerment tools so they can go off and continue it for themselves. It's not about keeping them in therapy for a long time. You know, it's all about, you know, having the tools to change.
Are we all a lot more powerful than we think we are?
I think we are. I think we've got incredible power and talents and superhuman powers. You know, you hear stories of kids getting trapped under a car and a woman, the mother would be able to walk up to the car, pick it up and pull the child out. And that is a focused hypnotic state that she's in when she does that. And it's because the drive in her is so strong to, you know, pull a child out and save the child. So, you know, when your mind is that focused and that engaged, you know, we really can achieve amazing things and do amazing things. So we are very, very powerful beings, and, you know, we can do amazing things when we focus our mind. And again, hypnosis is a very powerful tool for being able to do that.
So who puts the limits on us then? Is it school? Is it the education?
Well, certainly
system?
Was for me.
Was for me too.
It was, you know, it was especially school in the 60s, 70s. You know, we were taught that, you know, I had a good education beaten into me. And, you know, if you're disempowered when you're young, that's what you believe when you get older. You know, you have that programming running with you. And fortunately for me, I figured out a way to get rid of that and to change it.
Why do these teachers seem to get off on making people feel useless?
I don't know.
You know, because the opposite should be the rewarding thing, is to build them up and make them feel great.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
You would.
But I think, you know, yeah, if I went into that profession, all I'd want to do is empower kids. You know, and whenever I see kids, when people bring their kids to see me as a client, you know, I really enjoy working with them because they're like sponges. They're very open to suggestion and they're kind of easy to, you know, focus in a positive way. So, yeah, I don't know. I think schooling seems to have got better, you know, in later years. But it is a funny thing that people go into that profession and, you know, put kids in therapy years later on. You know, they come and see me later on because of, you know, what they've been through.
So what's your big ambition now? What's your driving force?
Well, I really love what I do. I feel really blessed. You know, when I was younger, I was in a band and I wanted to be a rock star, and that was always the big goal then, and nothing would ever come second to that. You know, that was the thing. But, you know, it didn't happen, and I, you know, wanted to do, I kind of got, as I got older, I wanted to do something worthwhile. You know, it had to be, I couldn't just do something for the sake of money. My dad's got a very successful printing and mailing business. Well, he did have. He's retired now, and that I always had a job there, but I, I you know, drove a minicab for a couple of years, and then I did played in pubs and clubs, and I was always looking for something. And you know, now I've with hypnosis and being a hypnotherapist, I absolutely love it, you know, and I've evolved into making recordings that, you know, sell all around the world, and I love it. So my focus now is just to continue really making good recordings that have got really profound healing qualities. And I've just made a range called the Solfeggio Meditations, and they're based on an ancient scale that the Gregorian monks used to chant. And this scale, each one of the frequencies on this scale, the notes on this scale, has certain frequencies that help you to... The first one is 639 hertz, and that helps to release guilt and fear.
How did you come across this?
Through a friend of mine, actually, who'd mentioned it, and then I looked into it a bit more, and there's lots of stuff out on the internet about it, the Solfeggio scale. And he suggested to me, let's make a range of recordings based on it. And he created the sound frequencies, and I did the meditation that went around it. And we're getting some lovely feedback on those. People are saying that they're listening to them, and they're, you know, crying their eyes out because they're, you know, really connecting on a deep level with the sound frequencies and that kind of thing.
You can find those on the internet.
Yeah, they're on iTunes, on the App Store, and yeah, on my website as well.
Well, let's play a bit of one now. Have a little listen.
Yeah, by all means.
Welcome to this special vibrational healing meditation. My name is Glenn Harold, and this is one of a series of sonic meditation recordings which are based upon the original Solfeggio scale. And each note in this scale has specific healing properties. And on this recording, we will be using the note which resonates to a frequency of 639 hertz and is associated with the color of green and the element of air. This frequency is all about connecting and harmonizing relationships and our perceptions of love. And this meditation recording will help you to bring more harmony and balance into your life. It will also help you to develop more self-love and acceptance, and help you with issues around loneliness and emotional stability. So just surrender to the sounds as you listen. And whatever thoughts and feelings arise in you, know that they will help you to move forward.
So each one of those notes, yeah, they resonate to a certain frequency, and yeah, they're amazing. So my friends created this sound frequency for each one, and I do the meditation, and the meditation's obviously built around the theme of that one. So it's a, you know, the 639 hertz one is about releasing guilt and fear. So I've done a lot of suggestions to help people do that, and yeah, they're getting a really strong reaction from people. You know, they're taking people really deep and helping them to purge, you know, some pretty deep stuff.
And there's a free app on the internet. My wife downloaded that the other day.
Oh yeah.
Just remind us what that's called. If you go to your app store, what do you type in?
Yeah, well, you can type in either my name, Glenn Harold, and that will come up number one. It's called Relax and Sleep Well. I mean, I've got a guide to self-hypnosis, which is a free document that people can download from my site that helps them to, you know, learn to shows people how to use self-hypnosis. And if you can do that just for 20 minutes in the middle of your day, you're switching off the left brain, the mental chatter, and you're enabling your unconscious mind to come more to the surface, and the creativity in you will come more to the surface. And when you do that for 20 minutes, it's like it's like getting 4 hours sleep almost in the middle of the day. You know, it's such an important thing to do that, to make time. On the train up here, I was doing that same thing. I was, you know, quietening my left brain, my conscious chatter, and I was just meditating, just being in the moment, just being really still and really centered and not focusing, not thinking, you know, just kind of being. And when you come back out of it, you feel really recharged and reinvigorated. So that's a great thing for people to do in the middle of the day. Hypnosis can help you with, you know, a multitude of things. You know, I started off with sleep, relaxation, weight loss, stopping smoking. You know, they're still my big sellers on recordings. But I've got titles out now like Sports Performance, which is a general recording which helps anyone that's playing any kind of sport to reach a peak performance state. And again, you know, if you rehearse, if you're playing in a sporting event or any kind of performance, if you visualize it and run it through beforehand and you do it enough times, you will achieve a peak performance state when you're actually doing it for real. And one of the reasons is because the mind doesn't distinguish between what's real and imagined. So the more you visualize a positive future outcome, when you actually are in that event, then you're programmed to, you know, be at your very best at that time. So I've covered recordings like that, Sports Performance, Public Speaking's another recent one that I've just released. It really can help with anything psychological or any anxiety-related issue. So any kind of phobia, anxiety-based problem, you know, hypnotherapy is brilliant at helping people with.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because people, you know, we've known about the sort of effects of music. I mean, if they want to torture somebody, they stick headphones on and they play really loud headbanging rock over and over, you know. Mm. So obviously that has a huge effect. And then at the opposite, I mean, you've got this recording studio and you used to be in a punk band, being as loud and as thrashy as possible.
Yeah.
Now you're being very gentle and meditative. It's funny, isn't it?
It is funny, yeah. It's like my brother sent me an MP3 clip of an old punk song that he said I used to listen to over and over again. And I can't repeat the lyrics now, but it's a really, really full-on graphic punk song. And he was, because I just posted something up on the internet by the band called Bliss, who are beautiful, angelic meditation, you know, music. And he said, whatever happened to that old punk? You know, I love things that kind of resonate with what I do now, you know, because I'm into hypnotherapy, I'm into healing. I tend to listen to music that is congruent with that. And I suppose still if I hear an old Clash song, you know, the hairs on the back of the neck still go up. And, you know.
Be good to have it in hospitals, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or places where people really have got some problems. Where if they could hear some meditative music and some hypnosis.
Yeah.
It could really help.
Well, there was that study by Dr. Emoto, who's a Japanese scientist, who found that when like punk or heavy metal type music was played, or very negative sound waves like negative talk was played to water, they found that on freezing it, the crystalline structure of the water would be very ugly to look at. The crystals were... Well, they weren't crystals. It was like very dark. And conversely, when they played sort of angelic, you know, beautiful music and positive words like love and that kind of thing to the music, they found the crystalline structure of the water was very beautiful and it made, you know, fantastic patterns. And if you think we're made up of 3/4 water, and the world, I think, is 3/4 water, you know, it's such an... It shows how it's such an important thing to... you know, to express yourself in a positive way and also to take in information in a positive way. I mean, for example, there's a lot of negativity around in the media. You know, we get bombarded by negative images. And, you know, that does impact us on a very, you know, subtle cellular level. And so, again, you know, I always teach people to, you know, be careful what you watch and what you take in and what you see, because it will impact you. And, you know, so conversely, if you're listening to beautiful music, and I mean, they found that with music, Baroque music, like Mozart's music, it helps to actually stimulate your learning capacity. So you can take in information really well if you listen to Baroque music. So if you're studying for an exam or you need to retain information, it's really nice to have that in the background, you know, just playing very gently to help to stimulate you in that way.
Mm-hmm. It takes me back to way back to 1976, and I just moved to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And there's a woman on the air called Bonnie Simmons, who's the program director at this radio station there. Mm-hmm. And there's this chap from the corporation that owned this radio station, come from New York for a visit, George somebody. Anyway, they were chatting away, and I was just listening to the radio and listening to their chat. And in the old days, he'd started off, he was a DJ, and he called himself Gorgeous George. And so Bonnie Simmons said, anybody remembers Gorgeous George? And this woman called in, and they had this wonderful connection and conversation with each other, like they were really old friends, which in a way, through radio, they were. Mm. And she said to him how, I always admired the fact that you sounded so sort of grounded and at peace with things. And he said, never, ever forget, he said, that you can filter what you allow to come into your mind.
Mm.
And take care to let only the good, positive things come into your mind.
Mm.
And avoid the things that you know feel bad or make you feel negative.
Yeah.
And that was my first realization of that we have more control over what we allow in.
Yeah.
We really do.
And I think that is such an important point because, you know, I've still learning all the time about healing and, you know, how our outer world impacts us. I say in the book, The Answer, I say that, you know, if you can learn to raise your vibrational energy, then you become so much more empowered when you do that. And you do that by exactly that, by taking in positive information and, you know, through eating well, through exercising, through sleeping well, and through, you know, expressing positivity. And by doing all that, you raise your vibrational energy. And when you raise your vibration, you'll find that you attract, you know, more positive things into your life, you know, because you're aligned with that. Your vibrational energy is aligned with more, you know, harmonious, beautiful things in life. You know, like when I was a 16, 15-year-old punk and I was, you know, sniffing speed and stuff like that, you know, I'd attract all the other people around me were all the same. You know, they were this delinquents. And, you know, I know half of those kids are in prison now. And that was my, you know, my outer world reflected my inner state, you know, the way I was inside. And conversely, now I find that I do attract some really nice things into my life through seemingly no effort of my own. And it's because of the vibrational energy of the place that I'm at, and I try to stay at, you know. I mean, I don't always stay there. I have my blips and, you know, I was swearing at Chelsea last night on the telly. But it's a work in progress. We're not perfect, you know. You strive to do these things, and you know I work really hard at it. I really, you know, now I've got the key to living a good, honest, prosperous life. I work at that, you know, and you know that's kind of all you can do, isn't it? It's, you know, do your best you can at any given time.
And in your case, help people quite a lot too.
Yeah, you know,
give you a lot of satisfaction.
It really does. You know, it's the nicest thing in the world to get paid well for what you do and to be helping people. You know, it's very rewarding. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thank you, Johnny. I enjoyed that.
And that was Glenn Harold, our main guest this week. An amazing man, considering what difficult start he had in life. And he's helping now thousands of people. And he gives away free an awful lot of his skills. There's some free iPhone apps and iPad apps you can find. Go to the iTunes store and just type in Glenn Harold. That's Glenn with two N's and Harold with two R's, H-A-R-R-O-L-D. And to find out all about Glenn, go to his website, which is glennharold.com. And many thanks to Glenn for giving up his time for the interview for this podcast. Thanks to Matthew Priest, the drummer with Dodgy, who does a lot of help on this show by doing a bit of editing and stitching it all together. And thanks to Decosso. who I call a captain, Captain Casso, who does the website and gets the podcast up there. So thanks to both of those guys and to David Lowe, too, who did that theme tune.